This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Holzerth is with us on the line. He's formerly of VCU, now founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you today?
Very good. Thanks for joining me. I've been looking forward to it. Bob joins us on Monday afternoons to get our Virginia politics fix, and we always look forward to that. Bob, let's start with Jim Webb. He has rolled out a new agenda regarding prison reform, and the folks, the friends I have on the Hill, have said if anybody can actually make a difference in this area, it's Jim Webb.
Well, it's a very interesting point of view that he's taken here, Coy, that I saw this the first time in his most recent book. He had a whole chapter dedicated to this. Basically, he has said that the American prison system isn't working. We have more prisoners than almost anybody else in the world, but at the same time, we have substantial amounts of crime, and we're not rehabilitating these prisoners. We're not getting them out in a productive way. And he thinks that a number of these prisoners, particularly the nonviolent ones, ought not to be in there. And so what Webb is doing is really trying to make a national agenda item out of prison reform, something that most politicians, particularly in Washington, wouldn't dare touch. And so here's Jim Webb, kind of a guy who has been willing to tilt at some windmills before and has been pretty effective at doing that. He took on George Allen when he was 30 points behind in the polls. He was against the Iraq War when many Democrats who were against the Iraq War were also voting for it, like John Kerry. And now he's taking on this sort of new challenge of prison reform. And it's kind of a Jim Webb type of thing to do things that not too many people would get involved in, that a lot of people think could be politically suicidal. There's probably a lot of Republicans in Virginia who are looking at 2012 saying, go Jim, go on this one. But it just shows you that he is the type of guy who's willing to go where his intellect leads him. And on this one, he thinks we have a big national problem and he's willing to get out in front of it.
We're talking with Bob Holzerth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. It is interesting. He sort of went to the Hill and took on that GI Bill, which had been up there for years, and nobody had been able to really move it along substantively. What does he have in mind, you think? Because you've read a lot more about this than I have, Bob. What does he have in mind when it comes to prison reform? What is you think he really wants to accomplish?
Well, I think he wants to accomplish any number of things. I think first and foremost, I think he wants to raise the issue in the public consciousness in a way that he thinks could be positive. Up to now, very few people are willing to tackle it because most people believe that the vast majority of people in prison deserve to be there. A lot of people believe they deserve to be there for a longer time than they're even there. And there are a lot of people who believe that the American prison system is relatively lenient. So Jim Webb wants to put forward a different perspective on the whole nature of the prison system. Secondly, I think he wants to try to find a way to separate people who definitely ought to be separated from society from those that he believes may not need to be separated, or at least not need to be separated for so long a time. And then I think thirdly, he wants to look at things where various forms of drug treatment, for example, might be able to substitute for prison sentences for people who are in prison largely because of crimes that are related to addiction of one kind.
We're talking with Bob Holzerth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And, Bob, this really does get to the heart of, or does it? Tell us if he's really taking on the war on drugs when he says prison reform.
I think there's an element to that, but I don't think that's exactly what he's trying to do here. I think that the reality is that he has taken a look at American prisons. As if you look at Webb, he studies issues on his own. He probably writes more, I think, than any other senator since Pat Moynihan, and he is this self-taught intellectual in some fashion up there, and he's had a lot of influence because of his capacity to really grapple with issues, write things up and pass it around to his fellow senators. He's a guy, Coy, who made his living for 20 years as a writer. So he really, I think, thinks very much of himself in that way. He thinks of himself as a writer-scholar, as somebody who knows how to make a case in a novelistic way, as somebody who has that capacity to bring tough issues in front of the public because he's been able to do that in his own writings. And so this is really a fascinating effort. As I said, there are a lot of people who are saying this is very, very dangerous. There are a lot of pundits who say, for example, quote-unquote, that it's important. And what they mean by that is that it's a little bit of condescension there. It's important but politically crazy. But if you've watched Jim Webb's career, time and time again, he's taken on these issues that the so-called conventional wisdom says you should be reluctant to take on, and he's found a way to make some progress on that.
And Bob, that's a very nice way of saying
he does it here.
Yeah, and Bob, that's a polite and nice way of saying that he takes on issues that career politicians are afraid to take on.
Exactly.
Because he's not a career politician.
No, he's not. And I think there's an open question of whether he'll run in 2012 or not. And I guess what he's, from the people who want him to run again, and if he's considering running, I think they believe that there's a value today to authenticity, even if some of that authenticity may be around unpopular issues now and then. And I think, if anything, about Jim Webb, that you would have to say that he's an authentic kind of person. He may not be the best kind of politician at going back home every weekend and dealing with the constituents and making, hundreds of appearances across the state. That doesn't seem to be the kind of senator he is. But certainly, in terms of putting forward his beliefs, willing to take on and tackle tough issues in an authentic way, you have to hand it to him, and you have to admire somebody like that.
Yeah, and personally, I do. I think it's this subject is long overdue for some treatment and really examining, because you know there's so many people that we just throw in prison that would much do better off with some treatment, drug treatment or something like that. We would end up saving a whole lot of money, and you know, if you look at drug courts in Virginia, they work. I mean, there's no mystery to it. They actually do work to
right.
keep
and,
people
and Webb,
out of prison.
Webb's a strong believer in that. And you may recall that one of the things he did about 2 months ago is that he held a major conference up at George Mason, which has a strong criminal justice program in which a number of the faculty are very interested in these kind of questions. And, you know, Webb took an issue that had been really kind of simply, almost confined to what you might say the sort of low-level bowels of academia.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden has made it into a national policy agenda item. We'll see how far he gets on it. But there's been no other senator in the U.S. who's willing to go as far as Webb has on this issue.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It really is fascinating. And that we certainly haven't heard the last of this. What do you think is the next step in this story? Is he actually going to put forward some legislation?
Yeah, he's putting forward legislation. He wants a national commission that he's hoping that he can find a way to get an entire national dialogue going on this issue. Certainly, inside the academic community, there's all kinds of people who are applauding him and are behind this because they really do believe, as you do, that the issue is overdue. Whether or not he's able to get that dialogue on a national level, we'll have to see. But you know, the other thing that he's developed over the short time he's been in the Senate is a very good relationship with the media. They look to him very frequently for a commentary. I think they respect him because of his intelligence and his willingness to speak forthrightly. And Webb probably has better access to those kind of channels than your average freshman senator around the country right now.
And that's certainly going to help him when it comes to, getting the message out there.
Exactly. And in many ways, I think it's a message that the media can find ways of portraying fairly easily. And again, it's going to be controversial, and I think with the media, that's a plus rather than a minus.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. Bob, let's turn our attention to the race for governor. You wrote recently about the bipartisan tag team. What brings Brian Moran, a Democratic candidate for governor, together with his adversaries across the aisle, the Virginia GOP?
Well, this was a it's Terry McAuliffe, obviously, and this was a fascinating vignette last week. What happened is that McAuliffe, I think, in order to inoculate himself from the argument that he's too much of a Washington insider, a lobbyist, somebody who's been around big money all his career, comes out last week and he says that there's too much whining and dining by lobbyists of legislators in Richmond, and that he wants to prohibit any gifts to legislators by lobbyists. And beyond that, he comes forward with a whole program of governmental reform, in some ways redefining himself as the ethics guy. And I think that was almost too much for both McDonnell and Moran to swallow. You know, Moran, who feels that he's at this 10-to-1 financial disadvantage against McAuliffe, who's raising money hand over fist all around the country, thought this is just, it's too much for this man to then say he's doing this, particularly when he attended a fundraiser the very same week held by a lobbying firm in Washington that included prominent Republicans among its principals. And so Moran was very upset by that. And then all of a sudden, the Republican Governors Association got into the middle of it, issuing a blast at McAuliffe, echoing Moran, calling him essentially a hypocrite. And I had two senses about this, Coy. On one hand, I felt that McAuliffe may have stretched the bounds a little bit by trying to redefine himself as the ethics guy in the campaign against the other two candidates. He does have a background of being a fundraiser in Washington, of being an insider, and it's hard, I think, to suggest that he has a long history of wanting to do this. But at the same time, the very fact that the Republican Governors Association got involved in the middle of this and raised holy heck about McAuliffe said to me that maybe the Republicans are a little more worried about Terry McAuliffe than the other Democratic candidates. So I don't know at the end what to make of it. On one hand, I think McAuliffe, who has run a pretty politically deft campaign, may not have had the best touch in going so far as trying to redefine himself as the ethics guy. At the same time, the fact that the National Republicans responded to a Virginia event led me to think that there's some concern about how McAuliffe might function as a candidate against Bob McDonnell.
We're talking about VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, who do you think, if McDonnell and his team are sitting around at night, who is their ideal opponent? I mean, who would they pick to run against in the hopes that they could beat that person? Obviously, if I hear you right, it's not Terry McAuliffe.
Well, I'll tell you who I think they would pick, though I'm not always, but you have to remember that people aren't always correct when they make their pick.
Yeah.
I think right now they probably believe that Brian Moran, in order to obtain the nomination, has probably gone furthest to the left of any Democratic candidate. And Republicans tend generally to like to run against Democrats in Virginia that they believe are quote-unquote, on the left. So my sense is that at the moment, they think that Moran has given them the best opportunity. Political insiders tend to be very fearful of money. And in fact, I think sometimes they tend to overestimate the influence of money on campaigns. But whenever I talk to insiders, McAuliffe has a lot of baggage. We'll be able to run a lot of arguments against them, the Republicans are saying. But at the same time, they always say, but he has all that money. And at the same time, with free deeds ran last time, almost even with McDonald, though you have to say that he ran 6 points behind the top of the Democratic ticket. And he doesn't have the clear baggage the Republicans think of moving so strongly to the left as Moran. So at the moment, I think that Moran is their preferred candidate, but you can't always say they're accurate in that assessment. You can't always say that means Moran would be the weakest Democratic candidate, because he has a strong regional base, he's a good guy, he comes off well on the stump, and the Republicans could well be making a mistake there.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. My name is Coy Barefoot. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes before the hour of 5 p.m., and we're broadcasting live from the Holiday Inn on Emmett Street. Bob, preview for us, if you can, what's going to happen this weekend coming up. Speaking of the Virginia GOP, probably one of their biggest weekends coming up here. Going to be very, very interesting. Lots of headlines will come out of this this weekend, and we'll recap it and deconstruct that meeting with you a week from today. But preview for us, if you can, what you think is going to happen on Saturday.
Well, Coy, assuming that they can't settle this beforehand, which a number of Republicans still would like to do, they're going to have the big smackdown on Saturday over Jeff Frederick. Many members of the Central Committee want to remove him. In order to be able to do that officially, however, they need 75% of the Central Committee to vote for removal. They said earlier on they have the numbers. Frederick claims they don't have the numbers. So on the first part of what's going to happen Saturday is that will they have the numbers to officially remove him? If they do, then they'll have to find a way to establish a new party chair. If they don't, then it's going to be quite a story of having what looks like to be a minority party chair presiding over the most important election for the Republicans in the last 12 years at the Republican Central Committee there at RPV. Afterwards, I think the second question is, does what happens on Saturday one way or another settle the matter, or is it going to fester, linger, and poison the McDonnell campaign in any way? And I think that's probably even a bigger issue, Coy, than the first issue of what exactly happens. Because right now, the McDonnell campaign has had a fairly unified Republican Party until all this Frederick stuff came up. In a lot of people's minds, McDonnell may well be the favorite to win this race. He certainly has the best chance since Jim Gilmore won in 1997 to be the Republican governor. And so what a lot of people are going to be looking at is that what's the aftermath of this? Does it linger? Does it fester? And can the Republican Party come back and be unified after this very, very bitter fight over Jeff Frederick?
So what'll be interesting to see is if what's more important, I guess, is what happens after this weekend rather than what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, Saturday is going to be high entertainment and high theater if anybody can get in to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the stories that come out afterward will be pretty interesting. But, you know, down the road, if the Republicans can settle this issue at the beginning of April, McDonald's going to be in good stead. If, however, they come to the convention in May, and they go thereafter, and there's still this rump group in the party that is screaming at McDonnell for being a top-downer and not a grassroots type of guy, and the 15, 20, or 25% of the party that supports Frederick are very upset. Or if Frederick stays in his chair and then commits another kind of gaffe like he did during the McCain-Obama campaign, it has the potential to linger on that way as well. So my sense is that really it's going to be fascinating what happens this Saturday. If the Republicans can put the entire issue to rest this Saturday, they're going to be very happy. If, however, this all lingers on into the summer, it's a sideshow for the McDonnell campaign that he'd prefer not to be watching.
Bob Holdsworth, formerly of VCU, now the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Required readings for anybody who wants to know what's going on in Virginia politics, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, we look forward to talking to you next Monday. Thank you, sir.
Take. Have a great. Thanks a lot, Coy. Have a great week.
Absolutely. That's Bob Holdsworth. Joins us on Monday afternoons. Talk a little Virginia politics. A break now at the top of the hour for CBS News, local news, and weather. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.